Welcome back to This Week in Big Sky Football.
Welcome on in. It's another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football. Hard to believe the final weekend of the regular season is here. I'm Scott Girard alongside producer Lloyd Cole, who's making the magic happen. Great show lined up for you today. Montana head coach Bobby Houck, Montana State head coach Jeff Choate, and Cal Poly fullback Joe Prothero will join us in our third segment. And in segment number four, we'll wrap things up with Craig Haley from Stats. Time to recap the games from this past weekend. Montana State topped Northern Colorado on Senior Day 35-7. Troy Anderson rushing for 104 yards and three scores for the Bobcats. Portland State stumbled on the road, losing to North Dakota 17-10. Eastern Washington handed UC Davis its first Big Sky loss of the season with a 59-20 victory. Three different players scored a pair of touchdowns each for the Eagles' victory as Eastern Washington posted 669 yards of total offense. Cal Poly's Joe Prothero rushing for 260 yards in the Mustangs' 37-14 victory over top 25 Idaho State. And Montana earned a 46-27 win on the road at Idaho with a big performance from Dalton Sneed, 220 yards passing, 129 yards on the ground. Weber State topped in-state rival Southern Utah 31-18 as Josh Davis recorded 225 yards on the ground and a pair of touchdowns. So Weber State, Eastern Washington, UC Davis, and Montana State all ranked in the FCS top 25 polls this week as Selection Sunday. Get ready, folks, just around the corner. With that, let's go out to the phones. Welcome in Montana head coach Bobby Houck. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Scott. Always good to be on with you, man.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate you doing this. I know it's a crazy week for you, so thanks for making time for us. It's been a few weeks since we chatted with you. Your Grizz are coming off that 46-27 victory over Idaho. What did walk us through that game a little bit. What did you see from your team that allowed you to pick up that win?
Well, it's a rivalry game for both schools, us and Idaho, and even though it hasn't been played since 2003, we've played 85 times.
Wow.
And you know, it's a big game, and it if you look at the total, you know, it's really lopsided in Idaho's favor in terms of wins versus losses over those 85 games. And you know, I've been around and followed this program for a long time, and I don't think the Grizzlies have handled Idaho in the Kibbe Dome ever like that. So it was a big night for us, or big afternoon, and we really enjoyed it.
Talk about the development of Dalton Sneed. He's been a bright spot for your offense. How does his leadership off the field translate to his game on the field?
Well, he leads the charge. He leads by example. He's not the guy that's a real rah-rah guy. He's not afraid to do that. But he leads with his off-field work and his preparation and then his competitiveness on the field. He's been a real boon to us this year. If we didn't have him, I'm not sure where we'd be. You know, we're so young at so many spots, and you know, he's just kind of carried the mail for us. He's a guy with less toughness, probably wouldn't have made it through the season with the struggles we've had up front on the offensive line. So big year for him, and we're very fortunate that he chose to come join us here.
You've got a pair of linebackers on the Buck Buchanan watch list. As a former player yourself, what does it take to elevate your game to that national level, and are these young men what are these young men have in them that's been able to do that for them?
Well, you know, Josh Buss was the preseason player of the year in the conference, but he had so many setbacks starting last November, and surgeries and injuries, and they just kept mounting, and we didn't even know that he would be able to play this year at all. So he's made the most of his year. He's had a nice year, certainly with the lack of being able to prepare in the off season, that he wasn't allowed. You know, he's maximized the year as best he can, and just a great guy and a great player. But Dante Olson's the guy that's had the marquee year in terms of tackles for loss, sacks, turnovers, all those things. He's had a big-time year, and I'm not sure that he can't win that award. He's played awfully well.
So it's Montana State Week. It's the Brawl of the Wild. What's it like around town when it's Montana State Week?
Well, you know, for us internally, we try to keep our preparation uniform week in, week out through the season, and try to establish consistency in that preparation. And so we try to be just even keeled and all that. But in our state up here, every eye is focused on this game. So there's hyper focus on it within our borders. And then believe me, everyone who's ever graduated from the University of Montana will know the score on Saturday. Every guy that ever put on the uniform here will be watching the game. So it's a big deal around here.
How many text messages and phone calls do you get from former you know, former teammates or guys close to the program and say, Coach, you got to get this W?
It's funny you bring that up, man. I said to our staff yesterday morning, I said, it seems like everybody in the United States that I know feels obligated to text me this week. So that's what started Saturday night after the Idaho game.
How do you so the approach you take with your players, you try to keep it as just another game, or from a psychology standpoint, how do you handle that with your players?
Well, we gotta make sure they don't get, it's not lost on our players at all, that this is a rivalry game. It's been played, I don't know, what, 118, 120 times or something, and as lopsided as the Idaho series is in Idaho's favor, this one's far, far, far lopsided in Montana's favor. And everyone here is aware of what this game is in the state of Montana. So we got to make sure that they don't get caught up in all the hyperbole and focus in on the X's and O's, because you have to go execute in a game like this to win.
Coach, obviously, you need to get to that magic number of 7. What do you need to do to make that happen, to not only get the win this weekend, to be up for consideration for the playoffs? What are your keys to the game this weekend?
Yeah, we don't even talk about that, frankly. This game is big enough as it is, and this game's everything. So we'll see where those chips fall in terms of all that. What we got to do is take care of business this weekend. And, basically for us, we need to play a complete game and play for 4 quarters. In the games we've lost this year, we've turned the ball over multiple times, 3 to 5, and it's the reason we lost the game. So we just need to play hard, fast, and physical and take care of the football, and we should be okay.
Coach, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for your time, and good luck this weekend.
All right, Scott. Go Grizz.
You got it. There you go. Bobby Houck, head coach of the Montana Grizzlies. They host Montana State, the Brawl of the Wild, this Saturday with a high noon mountain kickoff. Take a break. Come back. Segment number 2, we'll chat with Montana State head coach Jeff Choate right here on This Week in Big Sky Football. CenturyLink Arena plays host to the 2019 Big Sky Men's and Women's Basketball Championships in Boise. Postseason college basketball is back in Boise, and we have your front row seat to the event. The women's tournament will be held March 11th through the 15th, while the men's championship will take place March 13th through the 16th. The wait is over. 22 teams, 20 games, 2 champions. Don't miss your chance to buy tickets for this fun-filled week of basketball. Tickets are on sale now at BigSkyInBoise.com.
Welcome back to This Week in Big Sky Football.
Welcome on back. You're listening to another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football. I'm Scott Girard. Hey, remember, Pluto TV is the leading free internet television service in America. As part of that deal, the Big Sky Conference will air all of its live streamed sporting events on Pluto TV for free, including up to 700 football, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, and selected soccer, softball, and track and field events. All you have to do is go to watch Big Sky on Pluto TV to find games from different sports. With that, let's go out to the phones once again. Welcome in Montana State head coach Jeff Choate. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I know it's a busy week for you. We appreciate you making some time for us. Bobcats coming off a 35-7 victory over Northern Colorado. Let's talk about some of the things your team did well in that game that led you to that victory.
Took the ball away from the opponent. We had 4 takeaways, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. I think that was obviously critical. Ran the ball well and limited their explosive players. The Wesley kid, Alex Wesley, one of the better receivers in the Big Sky Conference, we were able to kind of hold him down. So I think those are kind of the positive takeaways that we take from that game.
You've been receiving some votes in the top 25 all season. Yesterday, your Bobcats did crack the top 25. Is that something you pay attention to at all, and do you look at that as kind of a nice reward for your team?
I mean, it's always good to be recognized. I think we've lost the 3 top 10 teams. So we played a competitive non-conference schedule, and I think that was, you kind of get a little credit for that sometimes. I think we're playing well right now, but quite honestly, none of that matters. I mean, our sole focus at this moment is the University of Montana.
You know, football in the state in that state is just incredible, but the Cat Grizz Week takes it to another level. What does that rivalry game mean to Montana State and alumni and fans and people in that city?
It means everything. I mean, I've had more people tell me, and I never thought I would hear this, but, more people tell you, I'd rather beat the Montana Grizzlies than win a national championship. And I think most of them are serious. And it's just unbelievable to hear that kind of passion about this game. And so that's kind of where they come from in terms of that. And It's just a hugely important game to everybody in this state on both sides, whether you wear the Montana colors or whether you wear the blue and gold of Montana State.
So I'm curious how you as a head coach handle that, because I'm sure you're hearing that. Your kids are hearing that too. Do you try to tell them that it's one, you know, just another game and we take it one game at a time, or do you let them play into the rivalry a little bit?
Yeah, I think it'd be disingenuous to say it's just another game. I don't think the kids would believe you saying that. And because they know it, they hear all the noise. And so what you've got to do is you've got to obviously talk about the importance, explain the history and the tradition behind the rivalry and why it is so significant to people in this state. But at the same token, by the same time, you've got to be able to say, hey, listen, what it's still going to come down to between the white lines is who's the most prepared, who executes at the highest level.
Victory on Saturday be win number 7 for your team, and obviously strong playoff consideration. Is that something you look at as well, or is it just still all focus on Montana?
All about Montana right now. I mean, really, it's kind of futile to even talk about other things because It really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, the ranking is nice. The playoff consideration is nice, but it all comes down to this game.
Bit of a different Montana team than in years past. Bobby Houck's back and coaching that team once again. What do you see out of them on film that jumps out at you?
I think they're playing really well right now. I think offensively the Dalton Speed kid is playing at a very high level. He had some turnover issues early in the year, and that cost him a couple of games. But I think he's kind of got that kind of squared away, and he's playing at a really high level. He's a true dual-threat quarterback, very effective in the quarterback run game. They've got a couple of redshirt freshmen and a true freshman. An in-state kid named Gabe Solser is a true freshman that's a good vertical threat for him. And then the Hakeem kid, Samuel Hakeem, is I think he had 6 catches for 130 yards last week against Idaho. So offensively playing at a very high clip. Defensively, they give you a lot of problems, a lot of post-snap movement, a lot of pressure from a lot of different angles. Very aggressive, excellent linebackers, probably 2 of the better linebackers in the Big Sky Conference in Bus and Dante Olson. And they're really good on special teams. You know, that's one of Coach Houck's calling cards. So I think they're a much improved team. I think they're playing their best football right now, and it's going to be a big challenge.
Wrapping up senior day with that victory, as we mentioned, against Northern Colorado, what has this senior class meant to Montana State, and what are your thoughts on this class and what they've been able to accomplish there?
A good group of kids. You know, I mean, came in here, and a year after they were settling in, there was a coaching change that took place, and they had to adapt to a new group of coaches, a new set of standards, a new culture, and that's always hard. That's difficult on kids. And I just can't commend them enough for how they've handled it, persevered, pushed through. Many of them have had to battle through injuries, which is pretty standard for, you know, Division I football athletes. You don't make it through the unscathed very often. And so I just, you know, thank the world of them and their toughness, both physically and mentally.
Coach, good luck this weekend. Appreciate your time as always, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Bet. Thanks. Go Cats.
You got it. Montana State head coach Jeff Choate. Again, Bobcats, Grizz, Saturday on Root Sports. Take a break, come back. Joe Prothero of Cal Poly will join us in our next segment as we take a break from the Montana-Montana State game. We'll also announce our Root Sports Players of the Week. It's all straight ahead right here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Pluto TV is your one-stop shop for Big Sky action. The leading free internet television service in America will stream live sporting events, including up to 700 football, men's and women's basketball, volleyball, and selected soccer, softball, and track and field events. Simply go to Pluto TV to find games from several different sports. Pluto TV is your one-stop shop for all Big Sky action.
You're listening to This Week in Big Sky Football, a comprehensive look at all this week's action in Big Sky Football. Now here's your host, Scott Girard.
Hey, welcome back. It's another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football. I'm Scott Girard. It's time to announce our Root Sports Players of the Week. Nazuzi Webster, named the co-Root Sports Defensive Player of the Week, registered a 45-yard pick 6 to kick off the second half, and added 3 tackles and recovered a fumble in the fourth quarter to help guide the Eagles to a 59-20 victory and hand UC Davis's first league loss of the season. Cal Poly's Dominic Frasch shared the defensive honor, registered an interception, forced a fumble early in the fourth quarter, led to a 40-yard touchdown for Cal Poly. He leads the nation in pass breakups as he added 4 on Saturday in addition to 7 tackles, 5 solo in the win. Roldan Alcabendez Scored 11 points in Eastern Washington's win over UC Davis, kicked a 24-yard field goal, converted all eight of his extra points, and punted five times for an average of nearly 40 yards a punt. Four of his punts were down inside the 20-yard line and three inside the 10. And your Root Sports Offensive Player of the Week, Cal Poly's Joe Prothero, leading the nation in rushing, helped guide Cal Poly to a 37-14 victory over top 25 Idaho State. The fullback registered his third consecutive 200-yard game with a career-high 260 yards on 41 carries. That's his eighth consecutive 100-yard game as he broke Cal Poly's record for rushing yards in a season with 1,627 yards. With that, let's go out to the phones. Welcome in Joe Prothero. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, always good to catch up with you. You a little sore after that one? You need to ice up after a performance like that?
Yeah, I was a little sore. You know, I took an ice bath. I feel good now.
You feel better now. Hey, you know, this is impressive. You lead the FCS and FBS in rushing yards with over 1,600 yards. When you suffered your injury last year and decided to come back for another year, what was your mentality like? Did you feel like you were going to be able to pick up that production where you left off?
It was funny you asked that because I got interviewed a lot of times when I was injured here at Cal Poly, and there would be a lot of guys asking me on campus just if I would they would ask the question, would you be the same player that you were? Like, you think you'll be able to do this and do that? And I just would always tell them I'm going to be a better player. Like, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to be better than I was before. And I really bought into that, and I think, you know, made it come to fruition.
So in a weird way, did the injury help make you a better player because you knew you had to work
even
harder?
It did. Yes, sir. The injury, mentally it killed me for the first 2 months, and then I just started working hard. I use it to fuel me, you know, to work in the off season.
Mm-hmm. You've had an incredible career there at Cal Poly. You've got your name all over the record books. How have you managed to be so consistent over the years?
Honestly, I've just been blessed with the opportunity. You know, they blessed me with the carries, and they blessed me with a good offensive line. You know, our offensive line, they're not like big dudes like Idaho State 6'5" and everything, but they get off the ball fast, and you know, they got good pad level, and they allow me to get those yards, you know, so I got to give a big shout out to them. I'm just blessed to have the opportunity. You know, it could have been other running backs in my spot right now. It's just they gave me the shot.
You run, you're a violent runner. You get after guys a little bit. Do you see guys start to wear down in the fourth quarter? Like maybe a 2 or 3 yard run in the first quarter ends up being a 8 to 10 yard run in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, 8 to 10, yeah. You could tell, you know, like, because I try to lower my shoulder a lot when I'm going through the hole. You start getting sidestepped a little bit and stuff and tired. I mean, I get tired too, but I'm always, you know, just trying to fall forward, get those extra yards. And you definitely can see it though, yeah.
You know, you don't see a lot of the triple option much in college football. Is it, from a player standpoint, I don't get a chance to talk to a lot of players actually playing that offense. How difficult is it to play in it, or is it relatively simple as a player to play in that style of offense?
I think the most difficult position is Khalil Jenkins' spot because all those reads he has to make. But for me, it's just I have my dive track, my counter trap, or, you know, we were in the trap. To me, it's not that hard. The hard part about it is when you don't get the ball and you still take those hits. So
yeah,
you got to just be ready to get hit almost every play at H-back.
So, you know, when he sticks it in your gut and you feel like he's going to give it to you and then he pulls it back out, you're like, hey, come on, you got to give it to me a little bit more often. What's
yeah,
that like?
So, Khalil's really good with it. He's good with his reads. He actually puts a lot of faith in me, and he gives me the ball. He gives him the ball at times when he says he's probably shouldn't have, and I get hit by the DN, the dive key anyway. So he does that more often than make the wrong read or anything like that. And you could just tell, like, I've been in the offense so long, is I can tell if it should have been a give read or not, you know. And I think he's really good with it. But if I can run through, if I run through, you know, free without getting touched, then that's when you know, like, okay, maybe it probably should have been a give. But either way, he still makes plays out of it, so
that's
regardless.
Awesome. Hey, you have
positive yards.
You have a family of your own. What's that been like, making sure that you're able to keep up with all your responsibilities?
It's been cool. You know, I school, family, and football has really been just my main three things. My main priorities just going through the years. I got a new daughter. I got three daughters now, and you know, I just remember in the back of my head, you know, I do everything is for them. Like, you know, to set a foundation up, try to get them to go to college when they get to my age. set a good example.
So you're not done yet. You and your Mustangs, you got Southern Utah coming up on Saturday. What do you guys need to do to come away with the W on Senior Day?
We just need to play hard, and we need to not overlook our opponent. You know, Southern Utah, we believe Southern Utah has a really good defense, a really good team that may be 1-9, but, the record doesn't always tell the story. So we just gotta lock in, focus, and not overlook our opponent.
Joe, this is a lot of fun, man. Congratulations on a great career. Keep it rolling. Looking forward to catching up with you soon.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on.
You betcha. Joe Prothero right here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Cal Poly will host Southern Utah at 4 o'clock Pacific time on Pluto TV to close out the regular season for the conference. When we come back, final segment of the show, we'll chat with Stats Craig Haley. We'll also note where you can find all the Big Sky games on Pluto TV this weekend. Stay with us. You're listening to another edition of This Week in Big Sky Football. The 2019 Big Sky Men's and Women's Basketball Championships are headed to Boise. Buy your tickets now for a fun-filled week with basketball for all to enjoy. Purchase your tickets today by visiting BigSkyInBoise.com. That's BigSkyInBoise.com.
Welcome back to This Week in Big Sky Football.
Welcome on back. You're listening to This Week in Big Sky Football. I'm Scott Girard. Final segment of the show. And this week, the Big Sky will actually have a Friday night game with Eastern Washington visiting Portland State. That's a 7 o'clock Pacific kickoff. Saturday's action looks like this and will include the 11 sports game of the week as UC Davis will host Sacramento State. That game at 12:05 Pacific kick. The Root Sports game of the week featuring Montana State at Montana. That's right, Brawl of the Wild will kick off at high noon Mountain Time. Idaho will play at Florida at 12 o'clock Eastern in a late non-conference matchup. The rest of the games this weekend can be found on Pluto TV by downloading the app on your smartphone, tablet, or TV. Northern Arizona hosts North Dakota at 2:30 Mountain Time. Idaho State will welcome in Weber State at 2:35 Mountain. Southern Utah will play at Cal Poly at 4 o'clock Pacific to close out the regular season for the Big Sky. Hard to believe the regular season coming to an end and the playoffs are just around the corner. With that, let's go out to the phones. Welcome in the FCS Senior Editor of Stats, Craig Haley. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing well. Let me ask you this. Are you ready? ready for the weekend?
I think so. I hope so. And I hope some of these Big Sky teams are going to be part of the conversation, too. Let's talk about the weekend's games before we get looking ahead too much. Eastern Washington gets that 59-20 victory over UC Davis. Not only the fact that they won, but they won in convincing fashion. What are your thoughts on that game, and what do you think the rest of the committee and the pollsters think of that game?
Well, I think the score was pretty, surprising. I mean, if they play 10 times, that might be the only time Eastern wins by, 39 points. I mean, granted, they deserved it. That's an extraordinary score. They won the game at the line of scrimmage, and then, as they got ahead and with the cold weather, it just seemed like UC Davis didn't have a lot of fight left in them in the fourth quarter. I think everybody has to be impressed. I mean, they're clearly a seed at this point off a win like that. And, I mean, for at least one day, they were 39 points better than UC Davis, and that's saying a lot.
So you got three teams with one league loss going into this final weekend, Eastern Washington, UC Davis, and Weber State. Which one of these teams will get a W and get a share of the league title?
Well, Eastern should beat Portland State. And Sac State has had too many key injuries this year, so you have to figure UC Davis wins that one. I mean, it's basically a matter of whether, Weber State wins on the road against Idaho State. And I'd say yes, because, their defense is clearly elite at Weber. So probably the most likely scenario is a three-way tie, Scott.
Do you know the tiebreakers? Do you know who gets the automatic bid?
If it's all three, I believe it's Weber State.
Okay. The winner of the Montana State game will have 7 Division I wins. Does that victor deserve to be the Big Sky's fourth team?
You would hope so. I think Montana State appears, pretty secure with a road win.
Yeah.
I mean, the committee loves quality road wins, and beating Montana at Washington Grizzly would just really solidify the Bobcats resume. The Grizz, probably aren't as secure with a win, even though it would be great for them to beat their rival. I mean, you do have to factor in other scenarios, like, you know, whether an NCAA is in the playoffs or do they qualify for the Celebration Bowl, you know. Does this Furman win the SoCon bid and the committee wants to go three down there, you know. North Dakota, do they get the seven wins because, you know, they beat the Grizz head-to-head? There's just so many factors. I think the Grizz would be in the mix, but they probably need some help. I think Montana State, though, is clearly in with a win.
You know, I had a chance to talk to both head coaches previously in the show, and I asked about the seventh win in the playoff, and both of them want no part of that conversation right now. They got a little snippy. They're like, nope, we're focusing on the team, focusing on the game, not worried about the seven wins right now. So they're all business right now in Missoula and Bozeman. Let's talk about the byes, though. How many do you think how many Big Sky teams do you think come away with byes?
I'm going to still say three going into the week. I mean, I think UC Davis, the way they lost is kind of a lasting image. So if they don't get a seed now, there's good reason. I mean, two for sure probably, you know, as long as Weber and Eastern Washington win. But I still think three is a possibility. You know, there's only a handful of teams right on the outside the top eight. I think going into the week you can make the case UC Davis is still like an eight. But then there's like a Maine, you know, a Jacksonville State, you know, all can get big wins, and maybe somebody passes UC Davis. You wouldn't think the committee wants to give three seeds to one conference, but if it happens, well, then the Big Sky earned it. So I do think it's still in the mix.
Not knowing what the bracket looks like, of course, which four teams in the FCS do you think will be the last four most likely standing come the semifinals of the playoffs?
You just want me to get beat up on social media.
Oh, just a little bit.
Well, I'd have to say, you know, North Dakota State, obviously.
Yep.
And I think Eastern Washington, you know, their senior leadership is so important and so substantial. I think you'd have to pick them. And then there's a handful of teams, but I have no problem saying, you know, Weber State with their defense and even like Colgate with their defense, which would be a surprise to many out of the Patriot League. But if they get a seat and get a home game and only maybe have to go on the road once, they could be there in the Final Four.
How much do you take into consideration previous year's experience in playoff? Because Weber came onto the scene last year, made the nice run, got so close to advancing to another round last year. Do you take that into consideration when you look and anticipate how a team will play this year in the playoffs?
I think the committee members do in the back of their minds. You know, they say it has to just be this year, and maybe they do follow that. But all of us can't help but think of past years and the status of a program. Like I'm using James Madison as the example this week. They're 7-3. If they lose and they're 7-4, and maybe be on the bubble, well, it's hard to keep them out because of what they've done the last couple of years. So, yes, you're looking back, not just looking at this year. So I think it's done in the committee's minds, but they're not going to say that publicly.
All right, so we talked about the Big Sky with four. How many bids do you think the CAA in Missouri Valley comes away with? And do you think the Big Sky gets four?
I would say yes. I mean, especially for sure if Montana State wins, the Big Sky would get four. And it's a good question because those are the three power conferences. I'd go five for the CAA. Six would be a record, and it's six going into this week, but I just think maybe somebody falls in the committee. That'll give somebody the committee reason to go with five. The Missouri Valley, it's two with North Dakota State and South Dakota State, but they're the only two that are going to have seven Division I wins. So if nobody else gets in, they don't have anybody else to blame them but themselves. I can still see the possibility of a six Division I win team getting in from that conference. I'd probably rate Indiana State the favorite in the pecking order if they can win at a Western Illinois this week. But, hey, they might only have two, even though they've been the top conference in recent years.
No doubt about it. Craig, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you joining us as always.
Thanks so much, Scott.
That's going to do it for us here on This Week in Big Sky Football. Big thanks to Montana head coach Bobby Houck, Montana State head coach Jeff Choate, also Cal Poly Joe Prothero, and Stats Craig Haley. Also, big thanks to Lloyd Cole and executive producer Denise Thompson. I'm Scott Girard. Enjoy the games this week right here on This Week in Big Sky Football.